Today's daf, of course, is our new Masechet. And this makes us very happy, even though we are going to be missing Tainius. We'll see, we're not going to be missing it totally, because there's a lot of inyanim that will remind us of the dinim of Tainius as well, as we continue. And so, we need to know the important halacha, which is that even though everybody nowadays believes that there is a particular 2 days of Purim, either the 14th or the 15th, we have the Purim. The ideas of the first month of Adar, the second month of Adar, but it's always limited to the difference between people who live in Mukafot Choma and people who live in other towns. Now, it actually turns out in the opening Mishnah that this is not true, and that we have actually a number of other options for reading the Megillah, which is a big Kiddush. And also, the thing that we're not used to, unless you happen to live in Yerushalayim, and then you get used to it, is that the mitzvahs of Purim and the inyan of Mikra Megillah are not necessarily related. And that the day that we read the Megillah may not be the day that we're mekayim the mitzvahs of Purim, such as the Mishloach Manos, or the Matanot Levionim, or the Kriya of Amalek, or the Suudas Purim, and so on. So all of these things are going to be mechudash here in this opening. But one of the important questions in the opening, before we get to it, is the issue of why in the world this would be true. In other words, we know that generally speaking, the way in which we always attempt to make a takana is that it be the same for everyone. This the Torah keeps mentioning Lachem, Ezrach, and Kiger, and whatever, wherever we find that it's Torah Achas, Yelachem, and here for some strange reason, we have Lechatchila a takana for two separate days. That is not at all obvious that it ought to be lechatchila two separate days. Remember that there's even an Isser D'Oraisa to have different hanagas, which is called lo tidgodedu. You're not allowed to have different hanagas of different people acting in different ways with different minhagim, unless you have two completely separate batei dinim. But we don't have normally a takana that is this way. So there is a real question as to why this is true. Now, obviously, we could say that in order specifically to give the clarity to the history in which there was this additional story of another Nes in Shushan, and as we've explained, it's a totally different madrega of the Nes. It's not just another day, but that what happened in Shushan was, in fact, a revolutionary change in which for the first time we did not just invert the original letters and drag Achashverosh along and say, okay, fine, write whatever the heck you want, you know, I don't give a hang. Instead, on that day, we had this incredible response of Achashverosh to Esther, in which all of a sudden, you know, whatever you tell me, I'm going to do, in which he suddenly takes her side, in which he suddenly becomes active, in which he suddenly stares down the people that up until now he was being machnif to. And everything at that point is a completely different level of nes. So my own personal opinion is, since this is the way that I understand the inyanim of Purim, is that it isn't really problematic because the 2 days are so different that we wanted Bedavka to maintain the recognition of the nes on those two completely different levels. Since that, I've never seen anybody who understands Shushan Purim that way and so on. So I believe that things change and that we're given insights that weren't there before as time passes and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meir Einenu. But let's go back and think about it from the point of view of the typical Gezeira. Why would we not be Koveya one particular day? So the Ramban is very upset about this. This is Ramban in the actual Pirish that he has on Masechet Megillah. And he says, this has bothered me. How could it be that there would be a takana lechatchila to have two separate kitot in Klal Yisrael? And anybody that's been in Eretz Yisrael and notes the difference between the sense of Purim in the country as a whole, the sense of Purim in Yerushalayim, and the areas of Suffolk, there's definitely like, whoa, it's almost two completely different ways of keeping Purim. Because of this, the Ramban has an absolutely unique approach to the entire sugya, and we should keep it in mind, together with the approach of the other Rishonim, who hold very differently. And because no matter what we're going to say about the Iker point of there being 2 days, we are going to have to explain why in the world we make it dependent in cities that were mukofot choma mimot Yoshua bin Nun. How the heck did Yoshua bin Nun get into this whole thing? Since this is talking about, even if we're patterning it on Shushan, obviously Shushan actually was a new capital, if you recall the whole story. And it was not Mukaf Choma Mimot Yoshua Ben Nun. And so the Ramban, we're going to have to explain that anyway. So the Ramban's approach is truly unique. He says that it is clear to him that at the time of the Koresh proclamation, most of Klal Yisrael moved to Eretz Yisrael and left Bavel. Can you imagine? That's a totally unique approach. And it was only years later that there were problems, that the remaining people did not want to move to Eretz Yisrael, and therefore only 40,000 people came with Ezra and so on. But that there was a major yishuv in Eretz Yisrael that was extremely poor and that were unable to rebuild the cities. And therefore the situation was that the cities that had originally been Mukafim, Mimot Yoshua Ben Nun, were all broken down. And we're opening, brings Pesukim for all of these things, because we know in the beginning of Nehemiah that the thing that drove people crazy, Sanballat and Tuvia and the Aravim, the Ammonim, the Ashdodim that it mentions over there, the biggest problem that they had was that they were fixing the wall of Yerushalayim, Vayichar lehem ma'od, it says. They were very, very angry. And that's when they tried their best to stop everything, so that it's clear that the rebuilding of the walls, particularly, was an extremely important element. So therefore, I say, says the Ramban, that the point is that people who were exposed in cities without walls were very worried about Haman's Gezera. Because after all, the Persians did have the government, and they theoretically would have been able to kill Jews all over the world. And if they were miyached this day for killing Jews, so if you weren't in a protected place, you could be in extreme danger of losing your life. Masha Enkein, those people who were living in the Arim that still had their choma, they weren't worried. This was a one-day kind of thing. It was to make an impact, and they did not believe that they were in any great danger. Therefore, says the Ramban, you'll notice that in the Megillah it says, Al kena Yehudima prazima yoshvim ba'reha prasot, osimet yom arba'asar l'chodesh adar. It doesn't mention a thing about the 15th. It doesn't mention a thing about the Arim that were mukafot choma, which is amazing. So how could that be? Then, afterwards, there was a second understanding. The people that were Prazim, they kept this Purim on their own. And then, only afterwards, Mordechai and the Bezdin HaGadol, they realized that this was something that requires a Zecher L'Dereis, and therefore they made a new holiday, which was called Purim. And you'll notice that it Gufa says in the Megillah, Vayichtol Mordechai et advarim ha'ela, vayishlach svarim el kol ha'yudim asher b'chol medinot ha'melech ha'chashverosh, ha'krovim v'harachokim, v'kayem aleyem liot osim et yom arba'asar ve'et yom chamishasar. This is the first time that we hear about that, right? So therefore, what he was sending them, in this Igeret HaPurim HaShenit, he was sending them the idea that there is a holiday, that you have to be bekabel on yourself, and therefore it says, v'kiblu ha'yudim, et asher hechelu la'asod. They were mekabel as a yontev because they had begun to do it on their own. So that they were mekabel on themselves, plus, continues the pasuk, ve'et asher katav Mordechai aleihem. So meaning that they were mekabel not only the 14th, but they were mekabel the 15th. And that's why, insanely, at the end of the Megillah, after that pasuk, it repeats the fact that Haman wanted to wipe us out. What's the point? Obviously, that's been the whole story. Ki Haman ben Avdata Gagi. And here's the word, says Ramban. Tzorer kol hayudim. Says Ramban, that's the point. There's a new word over here, kol, to recognize that there was a nace for the Prazim, and that was the main nace that they understood themselves, and therefore it comes first. And then there was an additional recognition that we needed also a zecher to the nes on the 15th. And this explains, as we're going to see in the Gemara, maybe Mukafim should not keep Purim at all. That's crazy. Ema Mukafim klau klau lo. So the Gemara says, no, it says Behodu Vyatkush. And so what's the Havamina? I mean, that they shouldn't have a Purim. Because that's the point. The original Purim was, in fact, only, as it says in the Pasuk, for the Prazim. I mean, it works out so beautifully with the Psukim, this Ramban. It's just amazing. All of the things that, like, were bothering you for years, he's answering. And this is why it says that we had to have, they were hesitant, because maybe they're going to bring, as the Gemara says later, we're going to get into trouble, and they're going to see that we're celebrating their downfall. That's why we have Vatichtov Esther HaMalka, that he was able to tell them, listen, this is a government decree. She's the Malka. Et kol tokif l'kayem et igeret ha-purim hazot ha-sheni. So why then did we make the reason we made the Prazim first? Because they were the ones that started the Nesa. They were the ones that were in the biggest trouble. And why did we pick the Dafke B'mimos Yeshua Ben Nun? Because if we hadn't, so then since most of Eretz Yisrael was not with built-up walls at that time, so therefore, like the Yerushalmi says, Mipnei Kvoda Shel Eretz Yisrael, we were koveya it in terms of Eretz Yisrael and Yoshua Ben Nun. Now, this is a big machlokas rishonim. I mean, the Ran, who would usually accept what the Ramban says, he is very, very against this approach, because he says he does not believe it's true historically. And that we certainly did not have Rov of Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, as it seems to be clear for many Gemaras at that time. And therefore, he says the difference between Prozim and Mukafin had nothing to do with the Nes of the Hatzolah, because they were, since they weren't living in Eretz Yisrael, that means they were mixed with the Goyim. And if they were mixed with the Goyim, why is it less dangerous to be in a city, Mukaf Choma, where you've got your enemies with you? It's, by the way, it's a very interesting point. I just want to bring this out, because I think it's like a historical tidbit that is so meaningful. You know how people say all the time, you know, the crazy rabbis, if they would have told everybody to go make aliyah to Eretz Yisrael, then people wouldn't have been killed by the Nazis, and they would have been saved, and so on, right? The absurdity of that is exactly what the Ramban is talking about, the people that were in the Mukafim. The chances of the Nazis getting into Eretz Yisrael, and the fact that they did not, was literally the tip. I mean, it was absolutely a tipping point over there. They could have gotten, this was Rommel, this was Egypt. It's a question of whether it was worthwhile early on to invade. Obviously, if the Jews would have been in Eretz Yisrael, of course they would have. That's exactly what they would have done. I mean, the whole thing is so idiotic. So that's exactly what the Ramban is pointing out. So people, they've got a wall around them, you know, so we can withstand the Persians. I mean, that's like, you know, you don't understand that if this was Gzeir against Klal Yisrael, that your little wall is not going to be making the difference and so on. I mean, it's exactly the same kind of psychology. So when Mordechai recognized that people were not absorbing the impact of the Gzeir of Haman, which is why, as Ramban says, you have to repeat it, Tzorer Kol HaYehudim. The idea over there was that he was going to be Ma'abed Kol HaYehudim. Don't think anybody was going to get away because of some little thing. That would have been an excuse to extend it for another couple of days to, you know, break through to the places where Jews were protecting themselves. That's ridiculous. But Mordechai saw that that psychology did not allow people to participate in the understanding of their own vulnerability, which is Nogea today. Obviously today of Asara Bateves, the understanding of vulnerability and what it means to have a gezeira against the Yehudim and not to be soimech on your walls, which is exactly the point, because today is the day. That's why I felt it was kind of initiate the Besechet with this discussion instead of waiting for a day until we got into those Gemaras. So everybody basically knows the sugyas, but that's exactly the point. Is the fact that you're Mukaf Chayma, is that going to make the difference? Like, you really think this is going to protect you? And this was the idea, of course, of Asara B'Teves. When you see that they put a siege around your wall, you know, really, you think that you don't need food and you think that there's no way to breach a wall. I mean, that's so contemporary. So couldn't resist making point of that. However, if you don't agree with the Ramban, you don't have all of these beautiful explanations of all of these psukim. As I mentioned, the Ran is therefore chaylik on the whole point, because he says it isn't so, so then he has to give another approach. So then why is it that we make this idea that it's dependent on the time of Yehoshua ben Nun? So according to him, obviously we'll have to say that it's just because of that additional nes, or is the way we explained it, that it's not an additional nes, it's an entirely new madrega of nes. And especially, I mean, the new madrega of nes is directly related to the nature of Yerushalayim and the mukaf, the kedusha of mukafas choma in Eretz Yisrael. So the way we're explaining it. But so he has to learn that the meaning of kvod shel Eretz Yisrael in the Yerushalmi is just that there should be a zecher to the Orim of Eretz Yisrael. We should be koveya it according to that time. Also, I mean, there's an interesting ritva. We, even though the Yerushalmi says that it's b'nei kvoda shel Eretz Yisrael, he brings that he was mekabel from his Rebbe, that the inyan over there was that the anshe knesses hakdela are always careful, as we know in all of the gezeres, that mi ein diraisa tikkun. All gezeres were always in terms of some mocker in the Torah initially. Therefore, to make this ridiculous distinction between prazim and mukafot choma, and to claim that that is a reason why we should be koveya two separate days, would not make any sense if we did not find that the Torah was makbid on the way which we act in prazim and mukafot choma. And in fact, the Torah does give us a completely different halacha for prazim and mukafot choma. And that is the halachas that are nageya, the shiluach tameim. So a mitzvah is not allowed in any mukafot choma, but the definition of mukafat choma is bimot Yehoshua ben Nun. And furthermore, there's the din, of course, of batei orei chayma, which is a whole different way of treating the inyanim of yoivo in batei orei chayma. So therefore, where could we possibly have made this takana if not basing it on the fact that the Torah uses these words, the prazi, orei prazi, and the mukaf choma? And therefore, it had to have been kavua al pi yemos Yehoshua ben Nun. And furthermore, of course, we must not forget, why call it yemos Yehoshua ben Nun and not yemos Moshe? So most explain that the reason for that is obvious, because yemos Yehoshua ben Nun defines the Knesset Laaretz, and Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there for the full Knesset Laaretz. But the interesting point is, as we'll see throughout this Pesachet, if you take a look at the names of the Talmidei Chachamim, it always has something to do with Yehoshua, or it has something to do with Levi. That's amazing. Most it's Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi, but it's always a reference to specifically the one who began Milchemes HaMolech, which of course is Yehoshua. So this, the whole Mekor of the Megillah is the Simbos Ne Yehoshua, as we're going to say. So obviously, if we're going to make a Takana, which will be based on the Torah's definition of Mukafas Choma, we will attribute this man to this man of Yehoshua. So the whole thing is deeply, deeply soaked in the history and in the connection that we have from the beginning to the Havtoch of Eretz Yisrael, the Knesset Eretz Yisrael, all the things that we were talking about in the last perek of Tainis start coming to the fore over here when it comes to the Nes of Purim itself. Okay, so keeping that in mind, we now are faced with a big chiddush, which is that Megillah nikret b'yud Aleph, b'yud Beit, b'yud Gimel, b'yud Dalet, b'tetvav, lo pachot v'lo yoter. So this is very strange, because when we read the Megillah, it seems to say that there are only 2 days to keep Purim, the 14th and the 15th. And over here it says, no, actually, from the 11th through the 15th are the days of Purim. It'll never be later than the 15th, and it will never be earlier than the 11th of Adar. So where do we get this from? Well, the obvious thing, says the Mishnah, is, as we all know, that those krachim amukafim choma miyemot Yehoshua ben Nun. So if we're living in a krach is not just a city, it's actually a fortified city. And because that's the way we find in Aramaic, we find it throughout the Targum, that we call every time that the Torah refers to some type of fortified place, it's always called kerakim, which means that they're basically held together and so on. Okay. But here it's mamish dafka a krach mukaf choma. It doesn't mean that's the only time that we use the word krach. So anyway, We'll see this later on when we get to the sugya and Tosfos. But here we're for sure. We mean krachim, that is fortified cities. If that choma is there from Yemos Yeshua ben Nun, so then they read the Megillah on the 15th. Okay, we know that, or at least we thought we knew that from the Megillah. We're going to see how indeed do we know that so clearly. Those kvarim v'ayarot gedolot, but all other types, big cities, little towns, villages, they all read on the 14th. Okay, so then how in the world did we ever get the 11th, 12th, and the 13th? The 14th and the 15th, that's all it says in the Megillah. Ah, Ella, this is how Rashi explains the word Ella. Ella means despite the fact that that is the given, you're missing one additional point. But, and the big but is, that the kfarim are magdimim l'yom ha-knisa, that the chachomim gave rishus to people who live in small towns, that they can read the Megillah in advance. They're magdim, not the other mitzvahs, but the Kriyas HaMegillah. And they can do this on the day of the Knisa. So now the question is, what do we mean by the day of the Knisa? So Rashi learns that the day of the Knisa means that since there was a Takonas Ezra, like the Gemara brings, we had all of the different things that Ezra was misaking back in Popakama. So since the Gemara brings there that Ezra was mitaken, that there should be Bote Dinim in the towns and the large towns where there was a Beis Din, that they should have to be in session on Yom Sheni and Yom Chamishi. And that would allow people all over that didn't have access to a Beis Din, they could all come in Yom Sheni and Chamishi, and they would know that they could go to Beis Din. And since in a small town, it's very possible that you didn't have a Megillah, or you didn't have a person who knew how to read the Megillah properly. So because of that, if these people were anyway going to be coming in on a Monday and a Thursday, so then we give them the right to come in the prior Monday or Thursday before. We'll see the Megillah, it says, don't do it any later, but it's okay to do it earlier. So we gave them the prior Monday or Thursday. And we're going to go through the days to show how that yields 11, 12, and 13, depending on when Purim comes out. We'll do that in a moment. However, Rashi's approach leads to a very serious problem, which is, can a person whose Purim is on the 14th, can he be motzi someone whose Megillah learning is supposed to be on the 15th, or vice versa? No. So what good will it do for the people to come in to court on the 11th and find somebody who's a Boki Bekriyas Megillah, and they'll say, could you read the Megillah for us? And the guy say, well, you're nuts, Megillah today? It's 3 days from now. Yeah, but for us, it's today. Okay, but it's not for me today. How can I read the Megillah to be motzi you today? So this is a big problem. If it actually means that we're going to be going into the city, how could we ask someone in that city to read for us? So this is one of the main reasons that most of the other Rishonim do not learn like Rashi. They learn that Yom HaKnisa does not mean the Knisa to the big town for Beis Din on Mondays and Thursdays. I mean, come on, man. How many people have a court case that are going to be going in on Mondays and Thursdays? It's not even reasonable. Basically, say, what, like 1% of the population? So because of that, we're going to say, well, we're not going to be much Riach here to go again. Doesn't really add up when you think about it. So basically, everyone else almost, and the Lechemisha says the Rambam also understands it this way from his way of reading the Rambam. Yom HaKnisa doesn't mean the day that you come into the cities. Yom HaKnisa means that in small towns, they only have minyonim on Mondays and Thursdays because of Kriyas HaTorah. So nobody shows up. They can't get a minyan together on the other days. Now that sounds much more likely, right? So therefore, since anyway they've got a Monday and Thursday schedule in shul, and that's when they're going to have the people there so they could have somebody who knows how to lane, and they'll have a minion and so on and so forth. So in order to avoid all of the hassle of the WhatsApp groups and the telephone calls and God only knows what, to get everyone together for a special day, so they allow you to do it on Monday and Thursday, but it's in your same town, and the people that are going to be doing the laning are the people that are going to be chayev in that town, and so on. That's how others learn Magdim L'Yom HaKnisa, which is very sweet, and it has much more a contemporary ring to it, if you think about it. Okay, So in any event, what would be the explanation according to Rashi? So how can we be yotzei the kriya? So there are a number of different approaches. The obvious approach is the approach of the Brisker Rav takes. The obvious approach is that the kedima to the Yom HaKnisa does not change the fundamental day that you're chayev. You're chayev on the 14th. The only thing is that we're allowing you to be yotzei your kriya of the 14th earlier. But that would mean that if it's not a fundamentally different day, and it's because the Megillah only really does give you the 2 days, the 14th and the 15th. So when the guy says, but I'm not chayev today, you'll say, yeah, but we're really chayev on the 14th. So for us, this is the 14th. You can lane for us because the 14th is extended under these circumstances. Now, this makes a big nafkamina la'alocha, because if that's the truth, then suppose, the way Rashi understands it, suppose a small town, the closest city would be, let's say, Yerushalayim. And they would be going into Yerushalayim on Mondays and Thursdays. But Yerushalayim, they read on the 15th. So how could they ask someone in Yerushalayim to read for them if they're on the 14th, you see? So therefore, there are others, among them, the Mashmaut is in the Ritva, that some of the Rishonim hold this, that say that that's not the explanation. The explanation is that this was given part of the takana that was made to enable people to be nichnasim, to be korim b'yom haknisa, was that the kriya for them can be done by anybody. Okay, that's just an arbitrary understanding of a gezera. But that way it wouldn't make enough kamino whether they went into a 15 reading or they went into a 14th reading, wherever they would be going. Obviously, according to those who argue on Rashi and say that we're talking about reading themselves, all of this, of course, is moot. Okay, well, it's only moot if you're an American. If you're a Brit, then it's not moot. But anyway, but the idea is this. So since we have Kforim Vayarot Gedolot Akorim B'Yudalin, the point is that Ela, since the Kforim are Mekdimim L'Yom HaKnisa, let me show you how that can actually end up either on the 11th, the 12th, or the 13th also. For instance, Ketzah. Let's say that the 14th comes out on a Monday. Okay, so then there's obviously no special making an earlier reading, because Monday anyway is the Yom HaKnisa. So there would be no point in making that earlier reading. So therefore, everybody other than the Mukofot Choma would be reading on Monday. So whether you're a small village or whether you're a big town, but you don't have a wall, Kvarim Vayarod Gedolot Korim Bo Bayom, and the Mukafot Choma, remember Mukafot Choma does not mean you currently have a wall. It means there was a wall at that time historically. So, I mean, you may be looking at, looks like a ruin to you. That's still considered to be a walled city. So those Mukafot Choma, they read on Tuesday. Fine. That's the 14th and the 15th. But now let's imagine that Purim comes out, the 14th, that is when I say Purim, the 14th comes out on a Tuesday, or the 14th comes out on a Wednesday. So now you've got to move back either one day or 2 days to get back to the previous Monday. But that will give you either on if it was 2 days, it's going to give you a 13th. 1 day is a 13th, and 2 days is a 12th. Now, it still can't be 11. We'll have to get back to that. So then the Ayarod Gedolot, the big towns, they would be reading on that day, that Tuesday or Wednesday. The Mukafot Choma will be reading on Thursday. But the other ones are going to be Magdim L'Yom HaKnisa. So the Kvarim are Magdim L'Yom HaKnisa, which is either the 12th or the 13th. So now we've already got 12, 13, 14, 15. How is it that we get the 11th? Okay, well, let me explain to you something else. Suppose it comes out on a Thursday. Now, a Thursday is also a Yom HaKnisa, which means that all the towns without a wall will be reading on the same day. So, Kvarim Vayarod Gedolot Korim Bo Bayom, because we never give you that special right to go back to a previous Yom HaKnisa. You're only given the right to go back to a Yom HaKnisa that you're not on. Okay, so the Mukafot Choma read Lemachar on Erev Shabbos. Suppose Purim actually comes out on Erev Shabbos. So then the Kvarim or Makdimim L'Yom HaKnisa, as usual, they go back one day, so they read on the 13th. And the thing is that if it falls out on a Friday, so then that would mean that people that are living in the Mukufot Choma are going to have the 15th on a Shabbos. But as we know, and we've already seen the gezeiras of possibly carrying things on Shabbos, we don't let you read a Megillah on Shabbos, which means that if you're living in a Mukufot Choma, you're going to have to go back in order to read before. So therefore, the Kvarim go back to the 13th, and both the Ayarot Gedolot and the Mukafot Choma read on the 14th, which is Erev Shabbos. Now, suppose Purim the 14th comes out on Shabbos. Now what? So now, even the Ayarot Gedolot cannot read on Shabbos. Do they read on Friday? Or do they go back to join the people in the small towns to the Yom HaKnisa? The halacha is everybody goes back to Thursday, even though theoretically they could have read on Friday. But since we're already being doicha them from their normal day, we'll be doicha them to the Yom HaKnisa so that there's no distinction between a small town and a large town. So therefore, everyone will go back to the Yom HaKnisa before, and that will be on the 12th. And the people in the Mukafot Choma will read on the normal day, which now works out to be Yom Rishon, and that would be the 15th. So we still haven't gotten to the 11th. How do we get the 11th? Oh, because suppose the 14th comes out on a Sunday, Chaliyot Achar HaShabbat. Then what do? You can't go to the next day on the Monday, even though that next day is also one of the Purim reading days, because it says velo yavor. You can never go later. You can only go earlier. So therefore, you got to go back to the previous Thursday. But the previous Thursday is the 11th. Ha! So now we got you. So therefore, the Kvarim Makdimim Liyom HaKnisa, Thursday, the 11th of Adar, now is the day for reading on the small towns. And the Ayarot Gedolot could still read on Sunday, which they do. And the Mukufot Choma will still read on Monday, which they do. And everything is just fine. And now we understand how we have all of that. Says the Gemara, where did this come from? Megillah, you're telling me it could be read on the 11th. Where in the world do we see that you're allowed to read on the 11th? Excuse me? What do you mean, where do we see? We're making up these dinim. I got news for you. So I'm telling you why we're doing it. Didn't we just explain to you that we need to be makdim liyom haknisa? So what do you mean minolan? There is no minolan. I'm making it up as I go along. So it's your problem. Kidabino la memela, come on. We're about to explain. Chachamimi kilo ala kvarim liyot makdimim liyom haknisa. We wanted to make life easier for them. Now, it turns out that the Gemara is going to change the coming words, but at this point, we think that it means, Kidei she'aspiku ma'im ha'mazon lachem shebekrachim. If we have the villagers available on the day of Purim, where the people are living in the big towns, they need people that are going to be service people, right? So they're sitting around fressing all day. How are they going to get their pizza delivered if all of the delivery boys are going to be reading the Megillah? So therefore, we say, okay, so the delivery boys, they come from the villages, you know, so they're not into high tech. So we need to leave them free for pizza deliveries. So therefore, we had them go back to the Yom HaKnisa. So the Gemara will say later on, but if that's true, I mean, see, if Purim comes out on a Yom HaKnisa, you still need delivery boys, so you should have to go back to the previous Yom HaKnisa, right? Okay, so therefore, we're going to change what this means. And it does not mean in order to make sure that there's pizza deliveries. Okay, it means because they are so kind to make pizza deliveries when they do, we're a little bit kind to them too, and let them off of their WhatsApp groups, and they're able to go back to Yom HaKnisa, but that we'll get to in the Gemara. Okay, but anyway, the idea over here is that I don't need a minole. Well, there is no minole. I've just told you. It's because we need to do this. No, that's not what we're saying. Obviously, I know that. What I'm saying is like this. Look, I'm not achikamrin and mirchi. I mean, let's think about this. All of these dates, right? I mean, the whole takona of Purim, it's not something that we're making up as we go along. It's something that was made up by Mordechai and the Anshei Knesset HaGedola. I mean, the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, that was the best in Agada of that entire period. So, I mean, you're telling me that what? The Anshei Knesset HaGedola, originally they had only come up with the idea of the 14th and the 15th, like it says in the Megillah. And we've decided that no, actually, we need to update the dates of Purim. We can't do that. That can't be what's happening, because Isak Adaita, Anshe Knesset Agadola, made only the 14th and the 15th. So how in the world could the later Rabbanan, the people from the Mishnah, Rabbeinu HaKadosh, I don't know, whoever the heck it was, it certainly wasn't someone on the Madrig of the Anshe Knesset Agadola. I mean, so who was it? It was Rabbi Akiva. I mean, like, so what? Rabbanan cannot be Okir HaTakana that the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah were mitakein because of the Mishnah. We know, as the Mishnah says, that there's a general halacha, Ein Beit Din Yochol Levatel Divrei Beit Din Chaviro, Elim Ken Gadol Mimenu B'Chochma U'B'Minyan, and we do not have a bigger bezdin than the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah. So it can't be that we're just making it up as we go along. So that's what we want to know. If, in fact, the Anshe Knesset HaGedolah had originally left open this possibility of allowing readings on the 11th, 12th, and the 13th, so it must be the Pshita Kulo Anshe Knesset HaGedolah Takinu. So since the entire idea of Purim is merumes in all of the details of the Megillah, where is the remez in the Megillah that this is true? Well, what are you saying? It's like Allah Lama should be Sinai on the Megillah. I mean, they would have told us the halacha by embedding it somewhere. Where is it embedded in the Megillah? Beautiful question. Omer of Shaman Bar Abba, Omer of Yochanan. Well, there's a weird pasuk. The pasuk says that they were mekayim on themselves, lekayim et yimei hapurim ha'ele bizmanehem. What does bizmanehem exactly mean? So, I mean, you could have just said bizmanam. If you're talking about bizmanehem, you're being merames to lots of other times, not just their time as previously defined above the 14th and the 15th, but rather in their multiple times. That's the bizmanehem. Zmanim harbe tiknu lehem. Wait a minute. I mean, why isn't it just telling us that they have to keep it on two different days, the 14th and the 15th? I mean, because that's a big Kiddush, right? 14th and the 15th. So maybe that's what it means, that we want them to be Mekayim on themselves, the 14th and the 15th, which would mean that it's Mibayla Lagufe. No. It says Beferish, the 14th and the 15th. So if that's all it meant, it should have said the Kayemet Yimei Purim Bizman. Whatever the Zman was, if you're a Prezi, if you're, that's enough. My Zman Ayim. That's got to be coming to tell me there must be other unmentioned times. Zmanim Tuva, lots of times. Well, it's not true. We're going to see later that we need the Pasuk of Zmanehem to tell me that these have to be different times. Because if you only say their time in their times, Zman, that would have meant that they could have the choice of the 14th or 15th. Et Yom Arbasar ve'et Yom Chamishasar. So choose, okay, you have 2 days, keep Purim on one of these days. Therefore, I need to know Zman Nehem. No. These are alternative times. They're not as Zman. So that one time is not the other time, meaning that there are different sets of times for different sets of people. So that's what you have to know. So then it needed to say the Zman Nehem, right? Zman Oshel Zeh, look Zman Oshel Zeh. No. It's true. But I could have handled that by saying Zmanam. They're separate times. Manehem adds their separate times besides the times mentioned above. Shema min akulos. You see, there must have been additional days. Okay, so additional days. Additional days could be like many days. I mean, like, I don't know, maybe the whole month of Adar. Couldn't it be? I mean, we do keep the whole month of Adar, don't we? I mean, it even says in the Megillah, HaChodesh asher ne'epach lahem. Exactly. So the Chodesh itself, we just had back in Tanis. Kishem shebitchilas of mematim b'simcha, so too from Adar amarim b'simcha. So maybe that's the Zmanayim. Now is the time to be thinking about Purim and reading the Megillah and getting drunk and sending tzedakah. So maybe that's the point. No, can't mean that, because Zmanayim is a increase in the use of the yud over the zmanam, right? So the zmanam has to be dumya. The zmanam has to be dumya to the zman. The zman as aforementioned is the 14th and 15th. So that's only 2 days. So then the additional zman nehem, which is marba, a double set. A double set means 2 more days. So we have 14 and 15 plus 2 more days. Okay, fine. So 2 more days is 12 and 13. I don't understand. How did we get 11? What's the 12? You said the 11th. Ah, no. Kiryomer of Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak. That's different. Because the 13th is Zman Ki Ilala Kolim. Velo Tzorech L'Rabuye. It does not make sense to need a Pusik to be Marba the 13th. Once I'm being Marba Zmanim, so then if I would have been Marba even one day, that means, or well, if it's not limited to the 14th and 15th, if it's not limited to the days of post-miracle of the fighting, so Koshe came while the miracle was happening, which is on the 13th, when everybody was fighting, whether you were in the Mukafot or you were not in the Mukafot, you would still be, in that day, involved in the Nesa. For sure, once I'm being Marba Zman, it includes the 13th. So therefore, the Zman Ehem has got to be the 11th and the 12th. That's the way Rashi learns. That is a fascinating opposite approach, the exact opposite. And that's the approach of Rabbeinu Tam. And that is that the idea of the 13th is not that it's a Zman Knisa, meaning the Zman Knisa is coming in to fight. The Zman Kihila, I mean, is coming into fight. According to the Rabbeinu Tam, the Zman Kihila Lakol is, this is the time that everybody was fasting. It's the tainus that they had all the time for the Zecher, the tainus at the time of the war that was going on then, and that we're Koveas, tainus Esther afterwards. So that's the 13th. Therefore, it doesn't make sense that we're going to be Marba to read on the day of Atinus. Why would we do that? If it's adding 2 days, it must mean not the 13th. And it's got to be adding the 11th and the 12th. So then how come we do read on the 13th? Ah, because once you've already been Marba the 11th and the 12th, it doesn't make sense to say if you can read before, you can't read on the day itself. So Memeo Lo Tzorech L'Rabuye. But the logic of it is the opposite of Rashi's logic, according to Rabbeinu Tam. So Zman, this idea of Zman Kiila is either Zman Kiila for Milchama, or Zman Kiila is Zman Kiila Leta'anit. There's also other pshatim brought by the Gainim, but these are the main pshat. Okay, so we're going to say that later on, as we'll see in the next pshat. So we use the same logic. Kalchanami, Yod Gimel, Izman, Kila, Lako. We do not need a pasuk to be Marva. But what makes you think it's the days before? Maybe on the contrary, if we're not going to be Marva the 13th, so then maybe it should indeed only be the 16th and the 17th. Ah, it can't mean that. Why? Velo Yavor Ktiv. So since it says Beferish in the pasuk, Velo Yavor, it's telling us you can never read later than the 15th. That's approach number one. Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmini Amar, it says in the pasuk, Kayamim Asher Nachu Bem HaYehudim. Now, what do you mean Kayamim? So it says LeKayem Aleihem LeYotosim Yom Arba'asar LeChodesh Adar VeYom Chamishasar Bo BeKol Shana VaShana Kayamim. So what Yamim you're telling me are Kayamim? So that means there are other days like these days. That includes the 11th and the 12th. Maybe the 13th, the 12th and the 13th. And here is where Rosh Hashanah Bar Yitzchak had said that Yud Gimel Zman Kila Lakolo, as we said, either according to Rashi, LeMilchama, and therefore it's obvious, Lo Tzarech L'Rabuye, or like the Rabbeinu Tam, it's the Zman of the Tainis, and therefore we wouldn't make sense, L'Rabuye. Okay, and maybe it's the 16th and the 17th? No, V'lo Yavor Ktiv. So we have two different approaches. So what was wrong with the approach of Zmanehem? Why did Reb Shmuel Bar Nachmeni look to Zmanim, Yamim, Kayamim, instead of Zmanehem? Well, because he says you're learning too much out of that. Zman, Zmanam, Zmanehem, each one teaching a different halacha, that there has to be these two different times, and that the times are unique and cannot be chosen between, and that there are different additional days. He doesn't believe that level of diuk is correct. And Reb Shammah Bar Abba, why didn't he learn out Yomim Kayamim? What do you mean, why? Because you know what that means. They were makabel on themselves to keep these days kayamim, like the original days, back in time. That's a historical reference. What does that have to do with teaching me that there are additional days? I don't think that's the pshat at all. Okay, so now, Omer Rabba Bar Bachana Rav Yochanan, you should know that this whole idea that you're allowed to read the Megillah before the 14th, if you live in a village, that's only true according to Rabbi Akiva, and this Mishnah happens to be an expression of Rabbi Akiva's stimata. It's a stam Mishnah that we have a Kabbalah, says Rabbi Yochanan, who is going only alibi to Rabbi Akiva, because he's the one that accepts zman, zmanam, zmanayim. But the Chachamim disagree fundamentally. Whoever heard of such things? Ein karino tele bizmana. The only time to read the Megillah is on the 14th or 15th. Really? Rabbi Yochanan holds that the Rabbanan argue? Meitve. Omar Rabbi Yehuda. Take a look at the price. Rabbi Yehuda says, when do we say this halacha that you can read the Megillah on the 11th and the 12th and the 13th? That's only bizman shashanim ketikunam. So that's where you have Kiddush, Alpi Bezdin, and Bezdin sends out Shluchim, and everybody's living in Eretz Yisrael, Yisrael Shruyin al Admatam, and therefore everyone knows when Pesach is going to be, because they're going to be getting the Shluchim of Pesach. Havu bizman hazeh, ha'olo mistaklimba, since everybody dates the time of Pesach based on Purim, so, in Korino Tala Bismana, because since they know that this is 30 days before Pesach, so they're going to keep Pesach 30 days later. If we allow them to read the Megillah on the 11th, they'll keep Pesach 30 days later on the 11th of Nisan. But then that means they're going to be eating chametz on the end of Pesach. No. So once it became something that's a reference point, forget about it. Bismana ze, hol mistaklimba, in Korin ba'al Bismana, you can only read it in the time. Now, let me ask you something. Who do you think Rabbi Yehuda was going according to? Was he going, if there's this supposed machlokas between the Chacham and Rabbi Akiva, I mean, if he's going alibi to Rabbi Akiva, ilem alibi to Rabbi Akiva, I mean, when Rabbi Akiva was miyaseid his mishnayas, that would be stimata'a, was that talking about when the Beis HaMikdash was built? No, that was in the later days of Rabbi Akiva, and at that point is Bizman Hazeh, where the Shanim are not ketikunat, where the Yisrael is not Shuyin Amad Basam, they're sitting there in Rome building tunnels for the Romans. So then, if it's going Alibi Rabbi Akiva, so then Afil Bizman Hazeh Italai Takanta, that means he's telling you that's true even today. And Rabbi Yehuda is saying, no, it's not true today. So therefore, it must be going Alibi to Rabbanan. And all that the Rabbanan are arguing on is whether the 11th, 12th, 13th is still true, or whether it was only true at the time that the Beis HaMikdash was there and Kiddush was Alpi Bezdin. And that's the machlokas. But everybody agrees, the Chachamim agree fundamentally that Bizman Shashanim Kitikunam, Yisrael Shuriyin al Admatam, in principle, the halacha is that everybody's agreed. We would have been reading the Megillah on the 11th, 12th, and 13th. Tiyufta, Rabbi Yochanan, Tiyufta. That completely wipes Rabbi Yochanan out. It's clear that there is definitely such a takona, and it's merubas in the Megillah. And actually, there's a whole different approach in which Rabbi Yochanan, of course, knew that. Ikede Amri Omer Rabba Baruch Hanan Rabbi Yochanan. This din in the Mishnah you can read even Bizman Hazeh Zestam Mishnah. That's going alibi to Rabbi Akiva. But the Chachomim say, no, it's no longer true. Because Bizman Hazeh, Holam Istak Limba, Ein Korinota Ela Bizmana. And in this version, the Braisa that was a Kasha on Rabbi Yochanan now becomes a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Tanya Nami Yochi, Omer Rabbi Yehuda, Ematai, when are you allowed to read the Megillah before the Yudalin? Bizman Shashanim Kitikunam Yisrael Shurin Alad Matam. Ava Bizman Hazeh, Holam Istak Limba, Ein Korinota Ela Bizmana. And therefore, Rabbi Yochanan had this all in mind, l'chatchila, and it all works out beautifully according to Rabbi Yochanan. Now, gentlemen, the big problem is, the Rambam says, when is this true, that we have the 11th, 12th, and the 13th? Only Bizman, Shashalim Kitukunam, and so on. Yes, Bizman Hazeh, we don't have it. Why? Because Ein Malchut Li Yisrael. And if Ein Malchut Li Yisrael, we're stuck on the 14th or 15th. What the heck? What does that have to do with the Gemara of Holam Mistaklimba? Makes no sense at all. So you need to know that not everybody agrees with Rashi's approach of Holam Mistaklimba means that they date Pesach to this, because the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah said you can't date Pesach to this because of variability in Adar. And therefore, they say, Alon Mistaklimba means since the Aniyim are expecting to get their Matonais Levyanim with a broad hand at the time of Kriyas Megillah, and if the Kriyas Megillah was a business-like Kriya on the Thursday before, the Monday before, and the Aniyim come in, and nobody's high, nobody's feeling good, nobody's dancing around singing Mishanich Nasadar, they're saying, oh no, not this schleppy Meshulach again, I'll give him a shekel, right? So then they're not, that's the Pshat Hol Mistaklimba, the Aniyim are Mistaklimba. That's how many learn. But there's another Girsa, and I suggest that this is the Girsa of the Rambam. The other Girsa is Hol Umistaknimba. Since Klal Yisrael can get into trouble if it becomes too much of a five-day celebration in which we're being Isaac in this Purim, the governments may get it through their heads. You know, we don't like this Purim jazz. Let's just cross the whole thing out. So therefore, we try to keep it quiet. And if you try to keep it quiet, then you don't spread it to the 13th and the 12th and the 11th. So that must be the way the Rambam says it. There's no Malchus for Yisrael. So then God only knows what could happen. Okay. Rav Ashi.
It only worked in Sugar Pine because he said it's only one day a year that we drink.
Yeah. I thought of this, Barnea, but we're late. I wanted to mention it myself and I was misgabra. Thank you. Rav Ashi. Kashile the Rav Yudah the Rav Yudah. Rav Ashi actually saw that there was a machlokas between Rav Yudah that we just quoted in the Brisa and the next Mishnah that we're going to be having. And he said, because of that, it must be that this Brisa that you just quoted in the name of Rav Yudah wasn't Rav Yudah. It was Rav Yossi Rav Yudah, which the Gemara is going to say, what? What do you mean? You can't just arbitrarily change the gears of Wupo. That's crazy. The Gemara will talk about that. But here's the kasha that he had. Is it true that Miyam Rabbiuda Bismana Zelo Mistaklimba in Kornino Tela Bismana? But take a look at the very next Mishnah where Rabbiuda doesn't say that. Om Rabbiuda. When do we read it only on Yudalid? That's, not on Yudalid, Makam Shinich Vasa Bishini Bechamishi. But in a place where they don't have it, Yom Kinisa Bishini Bechamishi. So then we don't have this Takana. But that means that nowadays, he's saying that in the Mishnah. So that means nowadays, if it is a Mokum Shenech Lasser Mishani Vechamashi, he agrees that Bizmana Zeh, we are going to be reading. So isn't that a contradiction? And because of that, he says, yes, it is a contradiction. And the author of the Braita was not Reb Yudah, it was Reb Yos Reb Yudah. Excuse me? Like, where did you go to seminary? You know, is this the conservative seminary? What, because you got a problem? Mishum de Kashile, Reb Yudah, Reb Yudah. So now we make up, well, you know, there's another Shita. It would have been easy to confuse Reb Yudah with Reb Yossi, Reb Yudah. I mean, what are you talking about? No, you don't understand. Reb Ashi had originally had two separate Girsaot in that Braita. So he had heard that some people say over the Braisa in the name of Reb Yudah, and some people said over that Braisa in the name of Reb Yossi Reb Yudah. And once he saw that there was a contradiction in Reb Yudah from the Mishnah, he said, oh, that explains it. Apparently, people got confused. It was really Reb Yossi Reb Yudah. Reb Yudah himself clearly doesn't hold that because of the next Mishnah. So now he said, oh, the ones who said Reb Yudah, they weren't being accurate. Lav dafke, the ones who said Reb Yossi Reb Yudah, they were being very accurate. Anyway. Next thing in the Mishnah is Krachim Amukafin Chomam Imot Yehoshua Benun Akorim B'Chamishasar. Where do we actually see that this has something to do with walled cities? Surprisingly, in the Megillah, it doesn't talk about walled cities on the 15th. Says Rava, well, it does say that Hayudim HaPrazim HaYoshvim Barei HaPrazod are Korim Yom Arba Asar. And therefore, it must be that the other day that was mentioned, Ve'et Yom Chamisha Asar, that's the day for the people in the walled cities. So it must be. There's nothing. If the Mukafim, if the Prazim on Arba Asar, so that only leaves you the 15th. Well, maybe the Prazim are on the 14th. And the Mukafim don't have a Purim at all. This was the Ramban's Diyuk. What do you mean they don't have a Purim at all? Because that must be the Pshat, that they were not in the Sakanav Kichadan. We never made the Purim on them. We'd only mentioned the Al-Kena Yudim HaPrazim. So maybe the Mukafim don't have a Purim. Says the Gemara, no, because we said a Kola Yudim. Aren't they Kola Yudim? And it says me, Hodu Vat Kush. And between Hodu and Kush, you're telling me there weren't lots of cities that had walls. So therefore, that can't be. Okay, fine. But can't we say that the Prazim are on the 14th and the Mukafim are on the 14th and the 15th? Because it says, Liotasim et Yom Arba Asal Chodesh Adar Ve'et Yom Chamisha Asra B'chol Shana V'shana. So apparently there's a two-day Purim. Maybe that's the two-day Purim for people who live in Mukafot Choma, to give even a greater sense of the Nes of Shushan. No. You'd be right if the Pasuk had said, Et Yom Arba Asar V'chamisha Asra. It would have meant what you're saying. But it separates them with the word et. Et Yom Arba Asar V'et Yom Chamisha Asar. Ati et, the word et, makes it into two separate days. One reads Hani Barba Asar, and one reads V'chamisha Asar. Okay, fine, I accept that. But maybe the Prasim have to read on the 14th, and the Mukafim have a choice. If they want to read on the 14th, they can. If they want to read on the 15th, they can. No. That's what we were medayik earlier. Bizman Nehem means they are separate, unique times. Zimano Shalzeh is Lav Zimano Shalzeh. Okay, so maybe it means on the 13th. Zoveema Betleisar. So even though it says the 15th in the Megillah, maybe that was only for Shushan. Maybe it has nothing to do with the Mukafot Choma. So maybe it would mean the 13th? No, that's because it's only reasonable that the basis of the dual Purim is Shushan. So therefore, it must be Kishushan. So then I'm convinced, but I still don't understand what this has to do with reading the Megillah. All it says in the Pasuk is it says that Liyot Osim et Yom HaChamishas, Yarbas of Yom HaChamishas. Liyot Otsim means to do the mitzvahs. That includes the Mishteh, the Mishloach Manos Ish L'Rei Eyu, the Matanot Lev Yonim. Where does it say that you're supposed to read the Megillah on these two different days? Zechira, which is called the Megillah, Zechira, Minolan. Omar Kra, V'hayamim Ha'ele, Nizkarim V'nasim. So the Pasuk was Makish, the Zechira to the Asiya. And if we've seen that the Asiya is on separate days, then so too the Zechira is on separate days. Now, our Mishnah is obviously not going like the following Tana. The Tanya of Yeshua ben Kor Chomer, the cities that are defined as Mukafot Choma are the cities that are Mukafot Choma Mimot HaKashverosh, not Mimot Yeshua ben Nun. And they are Korin B'Chamisha Asa. Where does he get that from? From his Svara. If we're basically modeling this on Shushan, so it has to be like Shushan. Just like Shushan was Mukefet Choma Mimot HaKashverosh and not Mimot Yehoshua ben Nun, and the Korin B'Chamisha Asar, Av Koshu Mukefet Choma Mimot HaKashverosh Korin B'Chamisha Asar. And our Tana says like the Ritva. Explain. There's a Gzeira Shava that compares Arei HaPrazi, it says Arkein Ayudim HaPrazim, and it says, Levad me'arei ha'prazi harbe me'od. So there it's talking about all of the cities that were captured by Yisrael during the Milchama while Moshe was still alive. So just like over there it was Mukafot Choma, even though Moshe was there, but Yoshua was the one who would be Machnis, or the one who would fought Amalek, Afkan mimot Yoshua ben Nun. The Mashma'ut in Rashi is that he learns that this is a real hekesh, as we'll see in a moment. So the question is, how can you make a hekesh to Divrei Ksuvim? You can make a hekesh from a pasuk in Dvorim to something that's written in Ktuvim. However, we're going to see later that Divrei Shalom ve'emet means that the level of drasha of Megillas Esther is compared to the level of the Torah. So even though some Rishonim argue, Rashi apparently holds that. And that's the mashma'ot of the sugya. And as I've mentioned to you in other contexts, the Zohar says that the kimuvi kiblu ayudim, that is spelled without the vav, kimuvi kibel ayudim, is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, who was mekabel Megillas Esther on Har Sinai. Amazing, amazing Zohar. But in any event, so when we say this is a hekesh, Moshe Rabbeinu gave over this hekesh like all the hekeshims. If you makabal this hekesh, then you have this hekesh. And we're going to see that this is in a moment. The Bishlema Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha does not hold a Vartana. He was never Mekabel the Hekesh of Prazi, Prazi. And therefore, if you don't have that Hekesh, you're not Dersha Hekesh on your own. It's very much like Rashi. It's a serious Hekesh. Not Pshat. We're just saying that it's good to be Masmichet on something in the Torah like the Ritva was saying, Bechlau, why we would use this. But the Tana Didan, why didn't he hold the Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha that we should pattern it on the Nes itself in Shushan? What kind of dumb question is that? You just said that Rabbi Yeshua doesn't have it because he does not have the Hekesh. But we do have the Hekesh, so what's the question? My timer? What do you mean my timer? Because Itlei Prazi or Prazi, he does have that Hekesh. No, what he's asking is that according to our Tana, that it's defined by the Yemos Yoshua, how do you explain Shushan? So now the mitzvah of Megillah in Shushan doesn't make any sense because Shushan is not acting properly. It's not like the Prazim, but it's not fitting into the Mukafim because it wasn't Mukafas Chol Mamimot Yoshua Benun. So how are they going to be Yotzit? Omar Rover, some say Kedi, Shiny, Shushan, Oyovana, Sopa, Nes. Since the Nes was done there, to some learn that means since the Nes was done there, it is given the status of an ear that was Mukefes Choma Mimot Yoshua Binun. That's like an amazing way to learn it. We'll see the implications of such a thing. That's the Ritva's approach. But the Pashtus is that the Nes itself is what we're talking about over there, not the model, something patterned after the model of the Nes. And therefore, of course, that is the way that we have to do it in Shusha. All right. So therefore, we're saying that we actually have three different dinim. So in other words, we have Shushan, and then we have the other cities, which are Mimas Yoshua, and then we have the cities that had no wall whatsoever. And then we have the other Shita that had no Adarab. Everything goes according to Shushan. Shushan is actually the model for Mashaya Mukaf Chomami Mot Achashverosh. So now we learned out that there was two completely different dinim. If we didn't have the hekesh of the dinim of Kena Yudim HaPrazim to the posik of Arei HaPrazi, so that was the reason Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha didn't have that Kabbalah, the way Rashi understands it, that it's a true Gzeirah Shavah. He therefore considered Shushan to be the model. So now the question is, how do we understand the way that the Megillah presents the alternatives of the mitzvah? Take a look at the pasuk. Bishlam Latana Didan, according to our Tana, who goes according to the Yemos Yoshua bin Nun, that explains why it says in the Megillah that we were Mekabel the dinim of the Megillah according to all types of different things. Medina, Umedina, ear, va'ir. So there's something about the Megillah that differentiates the Nizkarim v'Nasim. We're going to talk about the first word in a little bit later, Mishpacha u'Mishpacha. So obviously, there must be some limud from there too. Either two separate sets of Mishpachot. But there's a Medina u'Medina. So Medina is the entire area and ear the ear. So now, what is the point of saying all of those differentiations? In what sense is there a Medina u'Medina? So it makes sense that there would be, according to our Tana, Medina u'Medina. That tells us that there is a difference between a Mukaf Choma Mimot Yoshua Ben Nun. So there are differences, even though everything looks exactly the same. Medina is like this big city. It's the metropolitan center. And that tells me that that it makes a difference at what point that Medina was Mukaf. There's one Medina and there's another Medina. L'mukafet choma mimot achashverosh. So there's a big difference because if it's mukafet choma even mimot achashverosh, it's a different din. And why do I need ear of ear? That is because there is a city that doesn't fall into that halacha. And what is that? That's referring to Shushan. Because according to our Tana, Shushan is unique. So it is a city with a unique halacha, and therefore, even though it only has a wall from the time of Achashverosh, it nonetheless gets its din that distinguishes it from other cities that are only Mizman Achashverosh. But according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, I understand the difference between Medina and Medina is to distinguish between metropolitan centers that had a wall from the time of Ahasuerus and those that did not have a wall at the time of Ahasuerus. Fine, very nice. But what's the point of ear to ear? There is no separate din to any city that doesn't fit into the set. So how do you explain that? Look, you got a problem, and you think that you yourself don't have the same problem. The Tana Didan Minecha, what, it fits in so beautifully according to our Mishnah. If our Tana holds that the Prozi Uprozi is already the limud of a Gezeira Shava that's written inside of the Megillah, why do you have to repeat it again and say Medina o Medina? You're not telling me anything new if you already learned it from the Pasuk. Ela Kurala Drasha Udiyasa. That means that there's some other Chiddush in this Pasuk. Not the way you're learning to distinguish between one place and another and to tell me different sets. And therefore, it must be coming to tell me, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. The Omer Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi is Bechalik, and he says, Halacha, that Krach v'chol ha-samuchlo v'chol ha-nir'eimo nidon k'krach. So in other words, if you can have a Medina that extends all the way to a, because that's the meaning of a Medina. Medina is like the administration. It's the metropolitan center of a whole area. So then it's coming to tell me that there is an extended idea of a Medina. What's the extended idea of the Medina? As long as I can see this town from it, or if it's close enough to it, and we're going to get to the difference between that later today. So then it has the same din as the Medina. That's what it's coming to tell me. So it's adding a new halacha of how to define Medina, but it's not distinguishing between one and the other. That's the way Rashi understands it. There are Rishonim who say that, no, it's still continuing the concept of distinguishing between a Samach or Nira and an Eino Samach or Nira. But that's not how Rashi understands it. In any event, what's considered to be Samuch? The din of Samuch is, as we've seen elsewhere, from the town of Chamtan till the time till the town of Tveria. We had a whole discussion with this with Rabbanea last time, and we were not satisfied with his approach. We were not satisfied with any of the approaches because none of them are close to a meal of the identified places called Chamtan.
They were just run of the mill pshatim,
and therefore Shir would be Kemichamsa Matveria, one meal. I mean, can't you just say one meal? What do you have to tell us, Chamsa Matveria? No, because Hakamash Melanda Shir, the meal Kamahave, Kemichamsa Matveria, wants to provide us a measurement of the meal. Now, here is the Chazon Ish. Remember, we've spoken about this overall approach of the Chazon Ish to the dinim of Shiurim in the Torah. And he makes the tremendously important point. He makes it in so many different places when it comes time to defining the nates, or it comes time to defining the shkia, or it comes time to defining your measurements for the square of the tefillin and all of these issues. The Chazon Ish points out over and over again that none of our shiurim are meant to be exact. And people who exact it are being stupid. To take a look at your atomic clock to be able to tell me when Nates is insane, says the Chazon Ish, because nobody had an atomic clock that was measuring, you know, the ticks of the vibrations of a particular atom. I mean, come off it, man. Remember that the whole Inyan of the Torah, as the Chazon Ish explains, is that it's meant to be given to a primitive human being. And as the Gemara says, the level of identification, sophistication of biological identification, measurements, and so on, is determined by what was the status at the time of the Sinas HaTorah, not what you can end up defining as the precise instant of Neitz HaChama, and that's when you have to daven. It means that if you are as close as you could possibly estimate, you see according to the clock, not according to the clock, but according to the sky, that it's the Neitz HaChama, so then that's fine. Even though obviously you're not sitting there in the ocean and you're looking out to see the precise moment, that doesn't work like that. We see this, of course, with the dinim of pi. We see this with the dinim of the square root of 2. So therefore, the Chazon Ish says that the meaning over here was that we want to give you not a model that you can measure to be able to tell me exactly what the shear of a meal is. We want to give you a path that you can approximate. In other words, if we give you a sensible, that is to say, something that you can sense, it's a place that you know, you've walked there before. So therefore, you now have a sense of what a meal is, and you can approximate to that meal. That's where we find these Gemaras about, I know that it's a meal because I could tell from my horse's walk that it's a meal. I mean, come on, your horse maybe is in a little bit of a schleppy mood that day, so he's taking too many steps. It doesn't work that way. Okay, so therefore, he says, that's good for what the Gemara is coming to tell me. That's what is considered to be your sensible and sensual meal. Now, once we start talking about the Rabbi Yirmiyahu Yitamer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, so we want to tell you another halacha, which is, V'yom Rabbi Yirmiyahu Yitamer Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, you should know that the mansepach, tzofim omrim. Now, you know that the mansepach, of course, is an acronym of all of those letters that have a different form in the middle of a word, where they're patuach, and another form where they're satum at the end of the word. So we say the mem, the nun, the tzadik, the pei, and the kaf, and this, of course, appears to you every single musaf of Shabbos, in which we have the Tikanta Shabbos Ratzisa Korban HaSeh, and we go all the way through the Aleph Beis, and then we go through the Mansepach at the end, right? So the Mansepach were actually a takona that came from the Nevi'im. Tzofim are the words that's used for Tzofim, Matayim Tzofim, and so on, and that is a Navi. Ask the Gemara. How is that possible? Now, obviously, this seems to be something that's completely not nogea, what it is that we've been learning. It has nothing to do with Megillah. However, it has a great deal to do with Megillah, as we're going to see, because the Inyan of Megillah is the place where Chazal were mitaken a concept of Kriya. And it's because of that that we created a new Inyan of Kriya, that all of the dinim of Kriyas HaTorah are in Masechet Megillah, not in Brachas, where you would expect them to be. All of those dinim of Beit HaKnesset and the idea of Knisah LeBeit HaKnesset, they're all seen as a element of the Takona of Kriyas HaMegillah, in the same way that all of the dinim of Hallel are seen as part of the Takona of Hanukkah. And therefore, Hilchas Hallel are found not in Hilchas Tefillah, but in Hilchas Chanukah, which is amazing also. So then that means that when we begin this with the discussion of what is possible to be Mechadish, and how is it that Megillas Esther, which is what we're going to be getting into soon, that Megillas Esther should have a din of a part of the Torah, even though it was, how did it get a din of a part of the Torah that we're able to be medayek and making it these gezeirah shavas like we just did with the Yehudim HaPrazim, with the Pasuk and Devarim? All of that is nogea, the relationship of what the Nevi'im do with what it is that is in the Torah itself. So we start off with the question of the actual letters, and that becomes later important in terms of the dinim of the Megillah. A Megillah that's written with letters from another language, that's written in Ktav Ivri, as opposed to Ktav Ashuri, and so on. All of these questions are introduced with the getter of Mansepach. Now note that Mansepach are functions of Ktav Ashuri. In Ktav Ivri, we don't have this Mansepach. And therefore, the idea that there should be a letter that is completely what we're looking at in terms of Ktav Ashuri, a letter that is completely round, is only a samach anywhere, and a mem, which is a mansepach mem, if it's at the end of the word. Now, that's going to turn out to be very important. But first, let's ask the obvious question. How can Nevi'im tell us a din in the ksav if the din in the ksav is a deraisa that is nogea, all of the kashrus of a Sefer Torah, your tefillin, your mezuzahs? How can they tell us a din? Nevi'im don't have any rights to be mechadish dinim. So what do you mean, sofim amrum v'tizbara? V'aktiv eila ha-mitzvot she'ein navi rishai lechadish davar me'ata. No navi has the right to tell you any kind of chiddush that would define a new halacha in the Torah. So how could that possibly be true? not to mention the fact that Va'od Ha'omer of Chista Mem V'Samach Shebeluchot B'Nesa Yuomdim. Remember that the Luchot, the Ketav of the Luchot, penetrated all the way through the Luach, which means that if you have the letter Samach, how is the letter Samach possibly in the Luchot? It just creates a hole. But a Samach has to have the actual parchment or the Luach inside of the Samach. Same thing is true of the Mem. If you make a Mem all the way through from one end to the other, you end up with a hole, not with a letter. And yet it says over here that the Luchot had a Mem Sofit, and it was a Nes, that you had an actual Mem, and the middle piece of the Luach just stayed in place instead of falling out and making a hole. But that means that there was a Mem in the Luchos. So if that's the case, then it must have been there from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So what kind of silliness is it to say, no, the Tzofim, they were the ones who made it up? It's impossible. Now, you can ask, obviously, as Ritva points out, how in the world would we have possibly not know what these issues are? So let's take a look at what happens. The Gemara says the truth is there was, in fact, a Mansapach. Of course, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. However, lo aviyadi hai b'emtza teva v'hai b'sof teva. We did not recall which one was put at the end of a word and which one was put in the middle of a word. Came along the Tzofim, and they made tatakona, p'tuchim b'emtza teva, and stumim b'sof teva, like we do it now. How does that help? Come on, I mean, that's defining the halakhas of, what do you mean they were mitaken? You're defining the halakhas of the letters, of the writing. You still can't do that. Because, I mean, sof, eila ha-mitzvot, she'en avi atid l'chadesh davar miata. They're not allowed to give you any type of new halakha, even if it's not a actual creation of the whole thing. That's the difference between ein avi reshai l'chadesh and ein avi atid l'chadesh. So the ein avi reshai l'chadesh means keep your hands off of the Torah. Don't start adding things. Then in terms of telling me what it is that is a prat din that I'm not, it doesn't matter. A navi is not going to be involved in anything that is the bearer of halacha at all. Must be therefore shechachum v'chazruvi yizdun. We had forgotten, and they came to be remind us and to be mitaken in the sense that, listen, everybody should know that this is the way the halacha always was from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu and so on. But they didn't create it in any way. Now, again, how in the world could we have forgotten such a thing? And why can't we just peek at the Luchos if we forget? So first of all, as the Ritva explains, remember the sugya that says, as he tells us, this is going according to that Mandi Omar, that from the time of after the giving of the Luchos, they were mitakein to use, until the time of Ezra, to use Ktav Ivri, and the Svarim were written in Ktav Ivri. And all of the writing between people was Ktav Ivri, because the level of Ktav Ashurit was a Kodesh Kodashim that had been miyuchad for the Luchos alone. Afterwards came along Ezra, and he instituted that we should use even the Kedusha of Ktav Ashurit for the Sifrei Torah. And then people in their normal writing between each other would use Ktav Ivri. And therefore, now the question was, what do we do? Because at this point already, remember, the Luchos had been hidden from the time of Yoshiyahu. So because of that, we didn't know how to be miyase the Mansapach in Ktav Ashurit. So this is what the Tzofim came along to do.